Hello and welcome to this month's Sales Transformation Mastermind Coaching Call. I am so excited to be here, as always, to share with you some of my favorite ideas on my favorite topic that nobody in my family actually wants to hear me talk about. But fortunately, I have a community of folks like you who do want to have this conversation. And so I'm excited to be here. As always, I'm going to be answering some of my favorite questions from the Mastermind Forum, which is something that every single person on this call has access to. So if you have not been in there in a while, or you've never been there before, get in there, ask questions, get involved, answer questions, be a part of this conversation of some really, really exceptional human beings who have all invested in themselves to be a part of truly sharpening their saw and always improving in the world of selling, which is changing at such a dramatic rate in today's world. So with that said, I want to answer a couple of questions, and I think today is going to have a little bit of a theme, which is essentially a theme about getting started in sales. And so for those of you who are more established, that doesn't mean that these ideas aren't going to be relevant to you. In fact, I think they really will be, because I think a lot of times we are successful and we need to think about how do we kickstart another component of what we're doing in sales. So for you, this will be useful. And of course, for my newbies, the people who are just getting started or maybe only a couple years in, these ideas are going to be tremendously relevant to you as well. But I think that every single person can take a look at what they're doing and think about how can I be doing things better. So the first question comes from Dan, who is new to the forum, and he is actually starting a new career in selling life insurance. And so he asks, what five things can I do to make myself very unique and different in an overworked market? I think there's a typo here, but in an overworked market, a market that is going to be resistant to new people. And so I love that question, because even though Dan is in the life insurance business, we can all relate to being in markets that are really overworked, are seen as a commodity, are highly competitive. And so I think most people on this call relate to some degree to those concerns. And so Dan is just getting started, which is, you know, the life insurance business, like many businesses, is fascinating to me. I've worked with lots of people in the insurance world. And so just to give everyone a little insight into how the insurance world works, which may be a little different than other worlds, is that it's a lot of typically smaller monthly transactions. So basically what you're doing is you're getting people to subscribe to life insurance, and each sale is only incrementally adding to your book of business. But you keep plugging away, and before you know it, by the time you're 10 years in, you have this rock solid book of business, and it's so stable, people don't go anywhere, and you can have a really, really successful career. But those first couple of years are, I will acknowledge, very difficult, just like they are for a lot of industries. The other thing that I will say about this industry is that it is such a commodity industry. I mean, it's really just a bunch of people selling the same stuff to people. And so that makes the individual salesperson just that much more important, because it is truly very difficult to differentiate yourself. So Dan asked for five things that he can do to make himself unique, and I'm going to give you my list that I've come up with that I think are key for anyone who's getting started in really any highly, highly competitive industry, particularly an industry where there is a perception of commodity. So the first is, and this is the overarching one, so this actually doesn't count on the list, but is the big idea here is that you need to do everything that you possibly can to be perceived as totally and completely distinct from your competitors. And so for those of you that know my content and my ideology, that is the first principle in my system. But it is also so incredibly important in this conversation that you do everything in your power to be perceived as distinct. Because nobody, and I mean nobody, wants to sit down to have a conversation with a life insurance agent. It is something that nobody on the planet has ever thought to themselves, geez, I'm bored. Maybe I should have a conversation with a life insurance agent. And of course, it's true for a lot of our industries, but life insurance is particularly daunting and unpleasant and just no one's excited about the idea of ever talking to some life insurance agent. So you need to do everything in your power to be totally and completely distinct. And that's really true of everyone, right? No company CEO thinks to themselves, geez, I want to talk to a software salesperson today. And no homeowner thinks to themselves, geez, I'd love to talk to a home security salesperson. And I mean, it's true for everyone, right? No one wants to talk to a salespeople anyways. And so we need to be totally and completely distinct. And so every idea that I'm going to share to on this particular topic is going to pertain to this idea of being distinct. So now, with that said, let's get into the five ideas, and I'm going to blast through these. The first is do not call yourself a life insurance agent. Think about that. Do not call yourself a life insurance agent. Come up with a title for yourself that is different than your competitors. Come up with a title for yourself that your clients and your prospects don't even really know what it means. Invent a word. Do something that makes you different because nobody wants to talk to a life insurance agent. So we need to start by changing what that sounds like. So it could be it could literally be like, I'm just making things up. I hadn't planned out to come up with some names, but it could be like a life planning specialist or a catastrophic planning specialist or whatever it is, right? I'll give you an example for myself. Early on in my career, I was doing sales training, and I decided very early on to never call myself a sales trainer. Because sales trainers are a dime a dozen. There's a bunch of local yokels, many of which you've probably spoken to or seen speak at a local chamber event. And I knew that I wanted to differentiate myself from them. So I stopped calling myself a sales trainer and I called myself a sales strategist. And immediately, people didn't know what the heck that meant, but I thought that I always felt and noticed that that worked to my advantage because I was able to define what that meant. So first of all, stop calling yourself a life insurance agent. Come up with another name. Two, use a sales process that focuses on the big picture. Let me repeat that. Use a sales process that focuses on the big picture, right? So this means basically use the sales process that I teach, which is this disqualification process. Nobody wants to buy life insurance. Nobody. It is the least sexy, the least interesting product that you can possibly buy. But that's also true for if you sell software. That's true if you are selling manufacturing products. No one wants to buy your product. What they want to do is they want to solve the challenges that would necessitate your product in the first place. So life insurance is such a good example because it's just so friggin' boring. But it's really powerful, right? I just went through the process of getting life insurance myself. And the reason I got life insurance is because I want to make sure that if, God forbid, something happens, my family is protected, right? And so you don't care about the actual insurance itself, right? What you're focusing on is protecting your family. What you're focusing on is making sure that you have a plan for any kind of catastrophe. And so what you want to do is focus your sales process on understanding and focusing on those big picture issues that the prospect is really thinking about that would cause them to want the life insurance in the first place. And that's true again for whatever you're selling is, right? No one wants your stuff. Nobody wants your stuff. What they want is the solution to the problem that would cause them to talk to you in the first place. And in the case of life insurance, it's basically if something we had a someone that my wife knew who something happened to the husband, right? And the family was doing a GoFundMe page. And that is, when I heard that story, I thought to myself, geez, I really got to make sure I have life insurance because the last thing I'd ever want is for, my family to be doing a GoFundMe. And so that's why, I embarked upon that process. And so I think again, making sure that your process, your sales process, is asking those questions about the big picture. What are they really looking to accomplish? What are they concerned about? What are they worried about? That's what's going to close sales, not, oh, we have the best price, or we have this special right now, whatever it is, right? So that's two. Three, don't just sell life insurance. Diversify. Have a suite of products that all fit together, that are complementary, that are going to not only help you dramatically increase your average sales size, but are also going to really solve the concerns that people have. So, again, looking at the life insurance example, typically when a person's thinking about life insurance, they're also probably thinking about different investment vehicles. So it could be, some basic wealth advisor. It doesn't mean you have to be, of course you can get a certification to sell real financial products, but what are those other products that are tangential that you're going to be able to sell? I mean, it could be, of course, in the insurance business, it could be auto insurance, it could be homeowners insurance, it could be flood insurance, right? But it could also be other things that people are typically thinking about at that time that are, going to cause them to really dramatically increase that average sales size. Again, the reason that it's going to be so easy to sell this suite of products is because of the previous point, which is that you're focusing on the big picture. And so you're understanding what they're really concerned about. And then as a result, you have this whole offering, this suite of products that's really going to separate you from your competitors. And it's going to, I mean, typical, term life insurance policy for someone in their mid to late 30s who's healthy is going to be, $50 a month, right? So the commission on that is going to be peanuts. But if you combine that with the term life with whole life insurance policy plus homeowners insurance plus auto insurance or plus some investment vehicles, right now we're talking about a much larger sale. And again, that's true for every single person on this call. What are other products? What are other offerings that you can include in your proposals or in your solutions that are going to both dramatically increase the size of your sale, but are also going to really solve the problems that people care about, the big picture problems that people care about. It's going to be the difference between just schlubbing along and really stepping on the gas and crushing it. Number four. And this one is going to take some people out of their comfort zones, but I think it's really important for Dan's question. Number four is become a thought leader. I think one of the challenges that an industry like the insurance industry faces is that salespeople in that industry are seen as really the least trustworthy human beings on the planet. And in fact, the data supports that. I just recently came across some data from HubSpot where they asked people to rank the trustworthiness of different professions. And of course, doctors and firemen were at the top of the list, nurses, that kind of thing, where most people trust those folks. And then at the very bottom of the list were things like salespeople, auto salespeople, insurance salespeople, stockbrokers. We were only more trustworthy than the real low of the low, like politicians and I think it was lobbyists were the least trustworthy, which makes sense. But so basically, when you are a salesperson, and for this matter, for in any industry, you're going to not have a high degree of trust with a typical prospect. So the more you can establish yourself as a thought leader, the better off you are. And so the way we establish ourselves as thought leaders is by doing things that are really a little bit different than our competition. Doing things like, creating content. Right. And again, you don't have to necessarily do this yourself. You can aggregate information and put it together, but really showing that you have your finger on the pulse of what's really happening in your industry. And so in the case of life insurance, if you could come up with a booklet or a newsletter that's just like giving the latest ideas on what's happening in your marketplace, you're going to be so perceived as so far ahead of your competitors. I mean, of course, the extreme end of that would be doing something like writing a book, but it could be something as simple as having a monthly newsletter, an e-newsletter. It's totally free to do. You use Constant Contact. It's basically costs you nothing. And you're just sharing your insights on the industry. And it can be really, really simple. But by doing something like that, even when you're just getting started, I mean, geez, just do some research. It's only going to help you understand what's really going on, but it's also going to set you apart as a true thought leader. Of course, the extreme end of that, doing something like writing a book or a small booklet or something that like really is valuable, or even recording a 1 hour audio CD of the 10 things that every single person has to know about preparing for catastrophes in life, right? Or life insurance or whatever it is, right? By doing that, you're really going to separate yourself. So become a thought leader. And then the last one that I would give to Dan, and again, this is going to be out of a lot of people's comfort zone, but it would be to speak. To speak to organizations, to speak to audiences. And so, even when you're just getting started, you can do this. I think people don't have the guts sometimes to put themselves out there, but you could speak at your local chamber of commerce. You could speak at a local rotary, and come up with topics that aren't just like, what you need to know about life insurance, but are more about like, what are the top three biggest mistakes people make about planning for the future and how to avoid them, right? So it's you're coming up with a topic of a speech that is going to be really interesting to a particular audience, and at the same time is going to demonstrate your expertise, and you're just going to get so many great high quality leads in that. And so it's important that in the speech you're not selling, but what you're doing is you're just sharing really valuable information that to you may seem obvious, but to most people is going to seem groundbreaking. And again, make sure that the topic is most relevant to the audience. So if it's a chamber group, it's going to be a lot of small business entrepreneurs. It's going to be a lot of salespeople, right? And so make sure that the topic is most relevant to the audience. So it could be, seven things that every entrepreneur needs to know about planning for the next downturn, right? Whatever it is. And then you just run through your seven ideas. And of course, at the end, you say, hey, if you thought this was helpful and you'd like to discuss this further, I'm happy to have a conversation. Really, really soft pitch, but you're going to get a lot of really valuable leads from that. So, Dan, I answered your question probably in much more detail than you had expected, but I hope that was useful. So those are the five things that you can do to make yourself truly unique and different in an overworked market that is going to be resistant to new people. I hope that was useful. And with that said, let's move on to the next question, which is I love this question because it just pushes me to really think outside of just sales in a lot of ways. So this question comes from Moshe. He is a newbie in the forum as well. And he says, hi there. There's so much information available for people who are already in sales for some time on how to succeed. However, no one really talks about how to start from scratch, how to generate your first 10 customers. All the information is valuable for starters too, but I'm having a hard time activating a lead stream. Only after having a few customers can I start doing things like asking for referrals. I really appreciate any help. And then I asked him first, I said, well, what do you sell? Just to give me an idea. And then he replies, he says that he works basically for like startups and small companies to take over their bookkeeping and secretarial so that way they can grow their business. And basically outsource bookkeeping. And so he then says, you know, my clients are usually small business entrepreneur that's on the job site or in the shop and is really passionate about what they do, but, you know, doesn't want to focus on the financials, which makes a lot of sense. He says, the challenge I'm facing is that they don't usually sit down in an office where I can reach them, and nobody's opening their emails unless they're waiting for it. I've tried to ask for referrals from existing clients in the company, but they're too busy. I always manage to catch them in stress situations. I'll be thankful if you can give me any advice. And so there is a lot here. And I want to break this down because I think that this is Moshe is making some mistakes just based on what he says that I think a lot of us run into, particularly early on. And the big one is that I think he is making too many assumptions about his clients. Right? So basically, Moshe is he sells to small business entrepreneurs, much like I sell to a lot of small business entrepreneurs. But for some reason, he's making statements like they're way too busy to ever talk to me, they're always in the shop, they're never checking their emails, which I think are verifiably untrue. I'll just take the email example for a minute. You know, a lot of people on this call are probably small business entrepreneurs. The question is, do you check your email all the time? And the answer inevitably is yes, of course. Every small business entrepreneur is checking their email constantly. And so the veracity of that statement, whether it's true or untrue, almost doesn't matter. But what concerns me is that Moshe is making these assumptions that he's putting value on, and then he's making business decisions around these assumptions that are most likely verifiably untrue. And when you're just getting started, you never want to be making assumptions about your client base. You want to test stuff and then see what does and what doesn't work. You know, when I listen to what he said, you know, he spent a lot more time telling me what doesn't work than what does work and what he's willing to implement. And as a result, obviously, there's a lot of frustration. So, you know, I think this is something that a lot of us face is that we have these assumptions about what's going to work and what's not going to work, but we're not really testing them in a real way. And so we're just saying, like, oh, yeah, no, they never check email, so that doesn't work. Right, and so we're basically giving ourselves an excuse for why we're going to fail. And so, recommendation number one is stop telling yourself and others what doesn't work. Right? Don't tell me that people don't check their emails because that's just patently untrue. Right? Don't ask someone for advice and then say, oh, but by the way, I mean, yeah, nobody checks their email. Email just doesn't work. Right? That's not true. Of course, email works. Right? Lots of the most cutting-edge businesses that I work with are, you know, using email as 90% of their prospecting tool. It works, and so don't make these assumptions and then make these business decisions. To me, what I'm hearing a lot of is what my old mentor used to always say is you got a lot of head trash, right? You got all this stuff between your ears. It's just mostly garbage, and you're making it seem like it's real. So take away those excuses. Don't allow yourself to have excuses. I'll give you another example of when I got started that I think was really affected me personally. And again, we all have these. But when I first started my business, so I was in my mid to late 20s when I started my consulting and speaking business. And here I was proclaiming that I could teach people how to sell more effectively, but I was inevitably always the youngest person in the room when I was meeting with anyone, even when I was doing training of new salespeople. I was still usually the youngest person in the room, with the exception of brand new out of college kids, right? I mean, here I was, you know, 27, 28 years old, and I'm teaching people how to sell. Now, what I was teaching them was actually really, really, really good information. I was lucky because I just had some really good mentors, but nonetheless, in my head, I was always thinking like, oh, you know, I'm not going to make the sale because they're going to think I'm too young, and It was a constant battle that I had with myself for many, many years about my age. But I never gave in to that. I never was willing to accept, like, oh, yeah, because I'm young, that's going to create this problem. Or because I'm young, or because I look youthful, they're not going to trust me. And I'm really grateful that I never gave in to that insecurity, because had I done that, I think I probably would not have succeeded. And I hear people all the time say all of these different things that they put meaning into, but really it's just crap between your ears. Now, is there some reality to certain complaints and gripes? Sure. Was I young? Did I lose a sale here or there because they probably thought, this guy's too young? Sure. I'm sure that happened. But is it the reason that I couldn't be successful? Absolutely not. And just like you, Moshe, or just like anyone else on this call, don't let these little insecurities that we have become the reason that we're not successful. I think that overcoming that head trash is just so important. So that's my first very, very big and quite frankly, the most important piece of advice that I could ever give to someone getting started and someone who has these kinds of concerns, which just, to some degree we all do. Now I'm going to get a little bit more tactical. The next piece of advice is for someone who's getting started is it's all about prospecting. Right? It's all about filling that pipeline. It's all about getting in front of people. And so with that said, you probably don't have many existing clients, so you don't have much else to do besides prospect. So you should be implementing the prospecting campaign every day, all day. And the more you're prospecting in a meaningful and an intentional way, the more successful you're going to be. Because it's all about getting leads. It's 100% about getting leads. Of course, I mean, that assumes that you have a solid sales process, but I'm going to assume because you're in this program that you're implementing some of these ideas that we've talked about in terms of closing sales. So, with that being the case, it's all about getting in front of leads. And even getting in front of leads are going to be what's going to teach you to sell more effectively, because ultimately you have to learn by to some degree through trial and error. I mean, you want to learn the right way, but you're only going to really learn it by applying it. So you got to get in front of people. So the next thing is to really use that prospecting campaign. I talk about it all the time, but it's basically more than just making cold calls, right? It's about what are you sending to people in the mail? What are you emailing to people? So each lead should go through the exact same process. So you want to in the quick training library, there are videos on prospecting, on the prospecting campaign. In fact, the one video that I have, let me just make sure I know what it's called. It is called the so in the quick training library, it's called the most effective cold lead generation strategy out there. It's game changing. You definitely want to watch that. It's short, but it basically lays out the specifics of the prospecting campaign. I also have a program that some of you already have access to, which is the Sales Prospecting Blueprint. You want to have a really intentional and thoughtful process, and you want to be putting as many people through that campaign as you possibly can every single day. When I was getting started, I was making easily like 75 dials a day. If you're not making, when you're getting started, if you're not making at least 75 dials a day, you are simply not going to fill your pipeline. You're just not going to. I mean, unless you already have an existing book of business that you've been given, fine. But even that, you should still be calling on those people, following up, doing all that. So, use that prospecting campaign, follow the numbers, just, and it actually leads me to the third point, which is to really get scrappy, is to do everything you can to get meetings. It's all about getting in front of people. It's all about filling your pipeline. So that means emails, calls, dropping in, joining networking events, doing public speaking, right? Whatever gets you in front of those people. And only focusing on those activities, right? It's just like there shouldn't be any paperwork, there shouldn't be any downtime. It should just be focusing on getting in front of people. And whatever gets you to that, you got to do it. And, just starting in sales, I mean, for those of us who are more established, right, we look back on those early years and we think to ourselves, man, how did I make it through there, right? It's just, because it's not easy. And anyone who tells you that it's easy to get up and running is lying. It's not easy. It takes work. It takes being scrappy. It takes doing a lot of activity, but it also takes doing the right stuff. But it does require being really scrappy. So doing the right stuff is the sales prospecting blueprint. Getting scrappy means doing a lot of it. So get out there and do it. And for those of you who are more established, right, it's still a lesson that we all need to be reminded of, right? Is if sales are going down, if you're not having a good month, it's ultimately it's an act, the solution is about sales activity, right? It's about getting more prospects into your pipeline. So what can you be doing to get more prospects into your pipeline? Is it asking for introductions? Is it using a prospecting campaign? Is it going to more networking events? Is it speaking, right? Whatever it is, get out there and do it. And I think the last piece of advice I'd have for a newbie to get up and running is you have, as a member of this mastermind program, you have access to that quick training library. And some of you have access to the Sales Strategy Academy program that I have that you invested in, but everyone on this call has access to that quick training library in the portal. And my recommendation is to go through those videos. You're going to get so many ideas and implement just, one idea from each video. What is one idea that you can implement? And you don't have to watch them all at the same time, but hold yourself accountable to watching, one video a day or even one video a week, right? I mean, over the course of, if you just watch one video a week, that's 52 videos over the course of a year, right? That's all these ideas that you're going to implement. So get out there, learn the right strategies, and then go out and implement. Do it. Make it happen. So, Moshe, I hope that was useful. I think you are onto something, and that's really exciting, but I also think that you really have to be cautious about not allowing that internal dialogue, that head trash, to really cause you to make some decisions that are probably are probably sabotaging your own success. And I think that's something that we all face, and so you're not alone. And I think every single person on this call, to some degree, is nodding their head, thinking to themselves, "Yeah, I have some of that head trash, that baggage as well." Right? Nobody doesn't have it. I'm reading a book right now about, it's called Endure, I believe it's called. It's on a Kindle, so I never know the titles of my books, but I'll look it up. Endure. And yeah, it's called Endure. Endure. And it's about really high-end athletes, who are ultra marathon runners, people who do the most grueling endurance sports. And it's a very data-driven approach to basically what allows those people to do what otherwise normal human beings can't do. And it really does come down to, of course, genetics, right? They have to have the body type and the physical capacity to do these things, but what really separates the best apart from everyone else is what's going on in their head, right? How do they control those negative thoughts? How do they really take charge of what is really happening between their two ears that's going to allow them to push that much harder, that's going to allow them to do something that's just a little bit more exceptional than everyone else? And it's the same exact thing in sales, right? We all have those negative thoughts, whether it means that we're coming up with excuses for why we can't make that call or why we can't give that speech or why we can't do something. And the winners are able to recognize that is head trash, and they're able to move on, and they're able to do what's ultimately helping them. And having that ability is not necessarily something that we're born with, but it's something that's practiced. It's something that we work on, And as a result of working on it, we continue to sharpen that saw. So with that said, I challenge you to think about what are one or two takeaways that you got from this conversation today, and what can you apply into your selling right away? And go apply that. Go make it happen. Take action as a result of what happened in this brief conversation that we've had, and make something move this month that wasn't moving last month. I cannot wait to hear more of your questions, more of your success stories, more of your results. We've gotten a bunch of great results as a in the forum that people have shared. So pick one, two, maybe three ideas that you're going to implement this month. Actually implement them. Do something different. And then let's come back together next month and let's discuss more of those questions and more of those successes. Get into the forum, share your ideas, ask questions, and continue to be a great part of this community and continue to sharpen your own saw to achieving your own sales success. Thank you for joining me today, and I will talk to you next month.